Amen. Praise the Lord for that special today, and what a blessing we've already received just being in the Lord's house today. The music has just been spot on. Praise God for the choir and all those that have put time and effort to be used of the Lord to be a blessing this morning. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you today, if you'd look with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. One of my favorite chapters in all the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11. God has it recorded for us today so that we might have this great, known as the Hall of Faith, Hebrews Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 4 today. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 4. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it is that you made this opportunity available to us to be in church. And thank you for each one that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be here and to come. And Lord, for what we've already received, it would have been well worth our coming today to receive what we've already been blessed by. But I thank you that there's more. We have now the preaching of the very words of an almighty Creator God. And I pray, God, that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Faith. We hear it often, possibly even think about it, but faith is the beginning of spiritual awareness. And not only is it the beginning of spiritual awareness, but it's also the ability to do whatever God would have us to do. Faith in God is key to our lives that we live now, or however many years that'll be. And it is key to everlasting life, amen, eternal life. If you would study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that throughout his ministry, he would place much emphasis on faith as he focused on his disciples, preparing them to carry on that which he would have established as the New Testament church. Over and over again, he would take them through situations that where they would have to have faith. And then he would address their lack of faith and encouraging them on what they would need to do to have greater faith, increasing their faith. As we look here at Hebrews chapter 11, we find the only place in Scripture that gives us the definition of what faith in God is. Now, faith, if you would, a simple definition would just be belief in something. But we find here that he's talking about biblical faith, the faith we have in an almighty God. So as we looked at this, then there's two words that stand out in verse 1 when it describes or defines for us what faith is. It says, "Now faith is." So this is God revealing to you exactly a definition or what faith is. It says, "The substance of things hoped for." That word substance found here in our English Bible would be meaning that which is, that which a thing consists, a foundation, assurance. These would be words that would help us to understand what that idea of substance is. And then it goes on to say, and the evidence of things not seen. So these two words of substance and then evidence. The evidence would be that which proves or disproves. So faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So interpreted, if you will, it would be we are certain, if I have faith, of things hoped for and convinced of things that we cannot see. If I have biblical faith, if I have faith in God as He wants me to have faith in God, it is certain of things hoped for. We hope to have everlasting life. See, biblical hope is future fact. Not like we're thinking or hoping or it might be, but biblical hope is future fact. So we're certain of things hoped for, and we have a hope of a lot of different things according to the Word of God. I'm certain of it. I'm convinced of things that we cannot see. I don't have to see the Spirit of God to know that He's real. I don't have to see spiritual gifts to know that I can have them. Whatever it might be, I'm certain of things hoped for and convinced of things that we cannot see. That's biblical faith. So basically, it's biblical faith that he's talking about here in Hebrews in chapter 11 is, I believe God. I mean, if you have biblical faith, it means that you believe God above anything else, whether you see it or don't see it. The Bible is God's written down word. I believe every word of it. I believe everything that He says in this Bible is true. All His promises and His warnings are trustworthy. If I have this kind of biblical faith, then this faith tells me that my faith is grounded and based upon God's Word. And if I have that, then whatever God says, that's the way it is. And whatever promises that the Bible has, as long as I meet the condition of the promise, it's mine. I believe that. And when you truly have enough faith to be certain that if you qualify for that promise, that it's yours, what a blessing that'll bring to you. Whatever kind of warnings the Bible tells me, the warning of Satan, his presence, the temptations, the warning of the judgment of sin, the warnings of eternal hell. When you understand by faith and you have the faith to believe that, then that'll keep you from sin. That's what you have need of, to turn away from whatever it might be that you would be tempted to do that would bring the judgment of God. And we have those warnings. So the idea here of this faith is an act of the free will. It has to do with your mind, your thinking, and it will affect your heart, your emotions. Basically, is I choose to believe. If you have biblical faith, you have chosen to have it. Look with me to Romans in chapter 10. Faith is throughout the Bible. Romans in chapter 10, very powerful passage of scripture when it comes to this idea of faith, biblical faith, substance and evidence. Romans in chapter 10 and verse 11. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth." So this idea of faith, my belief, affects my heart. For the scripture says, "Whosoever, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." If you have this, then you're not ashamed of this because you're convinced, you're certain that this is real. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you have this kind of faith, your belief in God, and you do what the Bible says you need to do, you call upon him, you have the confidence and the assurance that that's what saved you. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You will not call upon him the way that you need to call upon him for salvation if you don't have faith or if you don't have belief. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It's a beautiful thing that God has designed in order to help people to come to this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to come to this place where they just simply have faith and say, "I believe God." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Not everybody's going to believe, and if they don't believe, they don't have faith. If they don't have faith, they can't, and they will not be saved. So then faith cometh. Now this is a verse that most all of us have heard over and over again, but in context it says, so then, understanding all this, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So I have to hear, I have to understand that God wants to communicate with me, that God has a desire to communicate with me, and he wants me to know that he's real, that he exists. And once I believe that there is a real God, and I start listening and reading and looking to know more about him, then this faith comes, and this faith is based upon my belief, first of all, and then my understanding of biblical faith is now I'm confident, I'm assured that this Bible is the very word of God, and God has revealed what man needs to know through it. Amen. Not only what man needs to know, but all that man can know. But I choose to believe the Bible. If you choose to believe the Bible and you just simply have biblical faith, then you can understand what biblical faith can do for us. In verse 3, he says, through faith we understand. Now you believe in God, and now you're wanting to learn more about God, and you're hearing more about God, and you choose to believe. And with this choice to have faith, to believe, comes this faith. And with this faith, we start understanding. The more we read the Bible with faith, I don't read the Bible looking for mistakes or errors. I don't read the Bible questioning whether the Bible's true. I read the Bible knowing that it's the very words of God, that I put my faith and trust in it, I believe it, and I'm reading it so that I might gain more understanding. I understand this New Testament church age that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And so once I know that I'm attending a church that believes the Bible and I've sit down to listen to somebody preach from the Bible, then I'm listening to be able to understand. I'm not critiquing. I'm not questioning. As long as I know he's preaching the Bible, then I'm wanting to understand more about the Bible. And when I have faith in the Bible and I know that God wants me to have more knowledge and more understanding, then he will work through the preaching to be able to speak to me and give me a little bit more insight and understanding, because that's what faith will do. Through faith, we understand. And then by faith, we can do whatever God would have us to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, you find that through faith we understand. And then if you will, if you look at the rest of this chapter from verse 3 down to verse 31, you'll find all the examples of these men of faith and women of faith. And the Bible says by faith, and then he names them and he says what they're able to do. Because once they had faith, they started understanding, and with the understanding that God wanted them to have, then by faith, they could do it. Through faith, we understand first and foremost that there is a creator God. That's what he says in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God breathed things into order. Our minds cannot fathom that, and that's why the human mind will go so many different directions there. And the more intelligent we think we are, the more we think we know more than what God does. And understanding how we got to where we're at today. And if you're not careful, we'll have more faith in the human mind and belief in humanism than we do in God. But through faith, we understand that there is a creator God. There is an intelligent design. But most importantly, the greatest thing that we receive through faith is an understanding of salvation. Because through faith, it's the only way that we can be saved. We have to understand that. If your faith is in man, then if you was in Sunday morning Sunday school, you realize that there's all sorts of different philosophies. There's a lot of different humanistic ideas concerning what it's going to take for anybody to get saved, if there is a need for salvation, if there is an eternal hell and an eternal heaven. And they start adding all kinds of things to it. Jesus plus this, this, and that, whatever it might be. But my faith is not in my understanding, my reasoning. My faith is based upon what God says. And God very clearly says, and a verse that you well know is Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved, by grace, but it's through faith. Through faith we understand. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Most important, faith tells me it is the gift. The Bible is, Jesus Christ is the theme of the entire Bible. You've heard me say this, but it's an easy way to understand. Sometimes we look at the Bible and say, boy, it's just too difficult, it's too hard to understand, but it's really easy. If you understand Jesus is a theme, the entire Old Testament reveals that Jesus is coming. The first four books of the New Testament is the Gospels. Jesus is here. And from the book of Acts all the way through the book of Revelation, the rest of the Bible, it is Jesus is coming again. That simplifies the Word of God. Amen. So everything about the Old Testament, and don't get caught up in the laws and all the different things that's got, but understand that it is there as a schoolmaster. The law was a school teacher to bring us to an understanding of the revelations of Jesus Christ. And all through the Old Testament, it was faith that there would come a Messiah. During when Jesus was here, it was belief that he's here. And after he went to the cross and resurrected, it is belief in that he's coming again. Amen. Belief in that he come for me. He died for my sins. And because of his death, I can live. And he offers me a free gift of everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So through faith, I can be saved. And now that I have this saving grace through faith, now it's by faith that I live my life. That I look to accomplish whatever it is that God has for me to accomplish. And he's given us so many illustrations. The first one he gives us is Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of this his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. See, Abel, by faith, looked to God and did exactly what God said for him to do. Look there with me, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Once you have this understanding of faith, the definition of faith, and then you understand that through faith we have understanding, if you have that understanding, now you're ready to start doing. Through faith we understand, and now that we understand, we by faith start doing whatever it is that God would have us to do. Abel's belief was in God. Cain's belief was in himself. Understand that. Abel's belief was not in what I'm doing, giving God what I want to give him. But Abel's belief was in God, and he looked to God and said, God, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to give? How would you have me to live? And that speaks to us today in the testimony. In the short time that Abel lived on this earth, God is yet speaking to us through his example of faith. Cain's faith was not in God. He knew God was real. He knew God existed, but he did not look to him through faith. He looked to his self. He believed more in himself than he believed in God. Look right there, Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. No doubt God revealed to them that they were to tithe. They were to bring offerings unto the Lord, acknowledging God, his part in enabling them to do whatever it is that they would do. God had a plan and a purpose for them, acknowledging him and bringing gifts to him, offerings to him. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He got upset because God did not take what he wanted to give God. And God did not accept it because his faith was not in God. His faith was in himself. Abel's faith was in his own ideas. Cain's faith was in his own ideas. Cain's faith was his own plan. It is what I plan. It's what I want to do. It's my design. And God had no respect for that. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well. Now, in doing that, he said, he's pointing Cain to Abel. Now, especially when it comes to comparisons, men, let me tell you, do not compare what another woman's doing with your wife, to your wife. Do not look to your wife and say, well, now, so-and-so's wife, she does this, and she does that, and she does... Can I tell you that that is a mistake? Because not only will she get mad at you, she'll get mad at that wife. Now, the idea here was that that was an example that God is saying to Cain, Abel, he did right. I want you to see it was not because of what he was doing with his life. He looked to me and he did what I wanted him to do. God wanted Cain to realize that he needed to stop having his own ideas and planning his own life and look to an example that God had before him and to look to God to do what God wanted him to do. He says, why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, you have an example. You've heard what I want you to do, shalt thou not be accepted? If you put your faith in God, that's what God's looking for. And you grow in that understanding of what God would have you to do, that's what God's looking for. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Abel would have had a sin nature just as Cain. What kept Cain from doing what God wanted him to do would have been the sin nature. You see, both Cain and Abel both were born with a sin nature. And with a sin nature, it's going to try to lead me in a direction that's opposite God. A sin nature is after the nature of the devil himself, which is a very selfish way of life. Not looking to God, it's looking to myself, it's looking to what I want, it's looking to my ways and my ideas and my plans, and I ought to be able to do what I want to do. Both Cain and Abel, raised in the very same home, both had the very same opportunities, but they turned out total opposite. It's because of a choice. It's because of faith. One had faith in God, and one had faith in himself. A sin nature led Cain to rebel against God. By faith, Abel controlled his spirit. And when the temptations came to think a certain way, and Satan's able to put in your mind and your spirit a certain suggestion, because he had faith in God, he rejected that. Because he knew exactly by understanding what God wanted, then he would reject anything that was not God's will. So not only through faith we have understanding, now by faith we can control our spirit. By faith we can control our minds. By faith we can control our bodies. And we can do and live as God would have us to. Luke chapter 17. As I said, there's many examples of Jesus Christ preparing his disciples and mentioning and directing them in this idea of faith. In Luke in chapter 17, verses 3 down to verse 5, he presented something to them that was God's will that would have been a very hard thing for them to imagine being able to do. Have you ever had anything that you knew was God's will, but you thought, this is a hard thing for me to do? Tithing is a hard thing for a lot of people to do. Coming to church, being faithful to the church is a hard thing for a lot of people to do because they want to come when they want to come, when it's convenient. They want to tithe when they're already doing well and we have a little money left over, and so we'll give whatever it is that I want to give. We'll do whatever it is. I'll get involved as I want to get involved. I'll do whatever I want to do. Listen to me, that's not living by faith. Luke in chapter 17, Jesus presented something to the disciples. He said, take heed to yourselves. And he said, this is something inside of you that's going to go against your human nature. This is not something that you're going to want to do. And if you don't overcome your spirit, if you don't overcome your mind, if you don't overcome your body, you won't do this. And so he says, take heed to yourselves. And here it is. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. That's an easy one. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, seven times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. Seven times in a day, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. God, I know this is what you want. This goes against every fiber of my being. But if it's what you want me to do, by faith, I can do it. Because through faith, we understand it's what God would have us to do. And by faith, we do it. Cain lacked faith in God. Abel put his faith in God. James chapter 2, and we're done right here. One last verse. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith. I'd ask you coming into the service today, do you have faith? Most everyone here would have said, I have faith. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, gain this understanding through faith, O man, that faith without works is dead. Cain knew that there was a God. But his faith was not in that God. And so because his faith was not in that God, he was not able to do what God wanted him to do. Abel's faith was in God. And through faith, he understood what God wanted him to do. And then because he put his faith in God, then by faith, he was able to do it. Do you have faith? I'm not talking about, do you believe in God? I'm asking, do you have biblical faith? If you have biblical faith, then you will be looking to do what God would have you to do. Beginning with salvation. And once you are saved, then you are equipped to accomplish everything that God would have you to accomplish. Do you have biblical faith? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11 helps us to know what faith is. But not only the definition of faith, and it explains to us through faith we understand. And once we have the understanding, it is continually by faith that we continue to do what God would have us to do. Are you looking to live your life by faith? If you are, you will be able to accomplish what God would have you to accomplish. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for Hebrews in chapter 11 and this definition and how we can apply it, how we learn from the very first example that you've given us through Cain and Abel. I pray, God, right now, if there's someone here that does not know you as a personal Lord and Savior, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God would be upon them right now, and they, by faith, will just come to receive you as Savior before it's eternally too late. Work in our midst, bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.